everyone. Thanks for tuning into the Message Podcast of Friends Church. My name is Alessandra. I'm one of the team members here, and we're so glad that you're joining us. It's been really encouraging to hear stories from people all over the country and the world who are listening in. We really hope that our messages are resonating with you. We also wanted to say thank you to those who are contributing to Friends Church. All of the things we're able to do, it's because of people who donate regularly. Even small, consistent gifts help a lot. If you haven't had the chance yet to give, I would encourage you to maybe think about doing that, especially if it's been beneficial in your own journey. To do that, it's really easy. Just go to our website, friendschurch.ca, and click on the Donate tab, or download our Friends Church app and click on the Give tab. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy this week's message.
What a great way to start the morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Friends Church. I guess you're not used to seeing me talk first thing, right? Sometimes I like to try things a little bit different, but I also want to do it the same as we always do it. We often start with a story about how we've screwed something up. And we do it deliberately because we want you to see two things. First, I'm worse than you. So whatever you've messed up, I've done worse than that. And second, I want you to feel like we're together. You know that song, it was like, together now. We've been talking about this idea of bidding in relationships, connection. And I remember it was maybe 15 years ago, and it's interesting, as even as I talk about this, I can feel it. We're in my old house. I'm still married to my ex-wife. And I walk in the door, and I don't remember what the day was, but I remember being just, it was busy, I was tired, I was stressed. And I remember her coming up in front of the TV and walking towards me, and she started to tell me the story of something she saw on Oprah that day. And it was this devastating story about a family and a woman who's struggling, and I don't remember the details, but I just remember it was like, I just got hit with this emotion. And it was like, this was the fifth day in a row we'd done this dance. I walked in the door. She started to share with me something about her life, something she was feeling. And I just felt like it was too much. Finally I said, and not in a nice voice like this, I said, don't ever tell me a story from Oprah again. I can't take it. Don't you ever tell me a story from Oprah again. And this moment you feel right now is amplified like 100 times. She stopped. And then she kind of collapsed. Not physically, but like between us. Collapsed. I don't know that's why I got divorced, but it's part of it. As I tell the story, chances are you're feeling your moments like that. Someone you love comes to you and wants to share something with you, something that's important, something that they're excited about, they're upset about, I don't know. And you turn against them and say, don't you ever do that. Calm yourself down. Go to your room. I don't want to hear that shit. Or you just turn away. I don't want to feel that. And we look into the eyes of the people that we love and we care about and we actually want to connect with, and we see the hurt of what we just did. We see the pain that we've caused. And suddenly I'm going, why did I do that? Why do we do that? I said in the blurb, it kind of feels like we're possessed. Why would I yell at someone I love? Why would I demand that somebody never do something again to somebody that I want to create connection with? Why do we do these things? Today I want to try and explore part of the reason why, and then to show you how to fix it. So the people that we love, the people we want to connect with, the people we want to be in relationship, look at us, not with that hurt feeling that my ex-wife felt, but with openness and connection and love. That's where we're going to go today, but we're going to take kind of a journey to get there. Now, if you weren't here last week, Jeff did a fantastic job of talking about how relationship connection is built. It's not because we're similar to the people that we're in relationship with. John Gottman, in his fantastic book, The Relationship Cure, tells us that there's little moments. We create a bid. A bid is this, I want to connect with you. It's my ex-wife saying, can I share something that was important to me today? I heard this story in Oprah and it touched me. Can I share that with you? That's a bid. And relationships live or die on how we respond to those bids. We can turn towards. Actually, I'll give you a better example. We've all seen kids playing on playgrounds on slides with their parents sitting there, right? Kid gets to the top of the slide. Mom, Dad, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then they slide down the slide, right? The bid is, Mom, Dad, look at me, look at me. It's a moment where correct connection can be made. And you have three options, generally. You can turn towards them. Oh, Johnny, look at you. You slid down the slide. Like that's some big thing. I don't know. I'm not a parent, can you tell? after the 30th time of the kid sliding down the slide, does it not get... Anyways, we'll talk about that later. Turning towards is going, oh, wow, that's amazing. Oh, that's so sad. Oh, I'm hearing you. It's the turning towards and the connection with the bid. That's what we should do to create connection. And it happens in intimate relationships with your kids, with your family, with your colleagues, with your friends, your neighbors. Someone says an offense, hey, Joe. We just kind of walk away. It's called turning away from a bid. It disconnects us. This kid saying, Mom, Dad, look at me on the slide. Give me a second. I'm still on my phone here. It's turning away. It breaks connection. The other one is turning against. That's what I did. Don't you ever tell me a sad story from Oprah again. There's a bid. And I come at them through that bid. Don't you know how busy I am? Mom, Dad, look at me on the slide. We're talking here. What does the kid do? The thing that's driven this series for me is asking, why do I turn away or turn against the bids from the people that we love? Why do I do it? Why do you do it? Now, I'm hoping that you're all the quiet, or you guys all have this perfect, and every time someone bids to you, you respond perfectly. But I've also heard your stories, and I know that we all struggle with this. And we don't know why it is that we're turning against or away from someone we care about. And how do we change this? That's what I want to talk about today. When I talked about this with Gregory, I said, Gregory, I want to do this first part of the message. Do you have a song that talks about this? He's like, oh man, I got this incredible song. I've been working through it. It's hit me personally. It's connected me to some friends that have gone through tragedy. So I've been listening to it on repeat. It has this amazing line, where sons and daughters feel their worth. And I'm right back in that slide moment going, how do we help connect to the people we love so they feel their worth? It says there's tremendous joy in the streets. this joy of connection, of bidding and turning towards the bid and bidding and turning towards the bid. That's the journey we're going to go on today. But I want you guys to sit in the disconnection, in the moments where you mishandled a bid, where you turned against or turned away. And as the song happens, just sit with that for a few minutes, can you? Wow. What an incredible song, huh? So I'm hoping that you've started to think back through your life, feel the bids from different people, your partners, friends, kids, parents. Have you noticed that a lot of the bids come in a certain way? Let me show you what I mean by that. Kid on top of the slide, parent sitting down on the bench. Does the kid say something along the lines of, "Mom, I think that physics is an interesting thing, and I think you probably would like to see the physics of gravity on my body as I slide down this slide. Might that be something you're interested in?" Is that how bids sound? Bids often come through emotion. The number of times I show my wife new speak, I love audio equipment, love it. Every time I see a new speaker or a new amplifier, babe, check this out. The bid comes through excitement. Do you notice that often bids are connected to an emotion? What did my ex-wife do? "I'm feeling sad, and I'm going to bid to you through sadness. I heard this tragic story today." Think of the emotions that bids come through in your life. Excitement. Anger. Ooh, I like bidding through anger. That's a good one. Cut me off on the street and I will bid all day long in anger. I'll tell you about my wife's reaction to that. I'm telling you, she's a ninja at this stuff. Frustration. Fear. Someone came to me the other day and said, "Hey, I'm really struggling about this whole vaccine thing. I don't know what to do. You know, I hear one thing, I hear another thing." What was the emotion? It's not the content. It's the emotion the content is packaged in. That's the important part. Okay, so if you buy in that a lot of bids come through a particular emotion, let's look at what happens when we don't match their emotion. Kid on the slide, parent on the thing. "Mom, Dad, check me out." What if you respond to the excitement through sadness? "Oh, I guess, but probably we're all going to die anyways." What happens to that kid's energy? Here's the thing. To turn towards the bid, usually you need to resonate the same energy, the same emotion as that person. A sad bid needs sad resonance. An angry bid needs angry resonance. A frustrated bid needs frustrated. Someone comes home from work, "I can't believe it. This is so annoying. My boss is such a pain in the butt." "Well, wasn't it a great day? Didn't you enjoy the sunshine?" Can you feel how that's not going to work at all? And yet if I would say something along the lines of, "Oh man, that sounds so frustrating. I can't believe you have to deal with that." Can you feel how that's the turn towards? There's this amazing moment in the biblical tradition. It's right before Jesus is killed. The idea is he knows he's going to die. Existential angst, for one. He's sad, profoundly sad. One of the translations talks about he's so profoundly sad that there's this metaphor of like tears dripping down his face of blood. And so he bids to the people that are closest to him. He says, "Please sit with me. I am so sad. Like I'm just gutted here." Now we know the bids come through a certain emotion often, sadness. And when we resonate the emotion, we can turn towards the bid. What do the disciples do? They take a nap. Did This is the definition of turning away from a bid. When someone bids to you with sadness and you go and have a nap, by definition, that's a bad response. Can we agree to that? And so he's there alone. And I often wonder, there's a moment when he's being killed. He kind of says, I'm all alone. And there's this big theological explanation for that, but I wonder how much of it was somebody who bid for connection at the end of his life, and his three closest friends turned away from him. If emotions come through bid, or sorry, if bids come through emotions, and when we resonate the same emotion, we turn towards the bid, then the question becomes for me, and probably for you, is what emotions do you not prefer bids to come through? I was talking to my brother about this. I said, you can bid through anger. And you could just tell, he was like, no, you can't. Anger's not good. Well, in our family, it wasn't good. And you could tell that what we grew up with, anger is bad, because we came from a whole tradition that anger was bad because our grandfather mishandled his anger all through his life. That influenced my dad, it influenced me and my brother, my sister. You see, what we've learned is certain emotions we don't prefer, we don't like. I didn't like sadness. In fact, if I'm honest, times in my life, I've hated sadness. I will do anything to avoid being sad. I will turn on pop music to not feel sad. I will go for a run to not feel sad. I will watch a violent TV show to not feel sad. I do not want to feel sad. So go back to the story I started with. My ex-wife bids to me through sadness. And I don't want to feel sadness. What do I do? What do you do? Can you feel it now? The different emotions that bids come through that you don't prefer? If you grew up, anger is bad, and a bid coming through anger, you're not going to like that. Why don't you calm yourself down before we talk about this? If you're profoundly connected to your sadness and someone bids through excitement, right? Can you just see the parent who's had this profound sad moment and they're lost in their sadness? The kid's on top of the slide. Mom, Dad, look at me. They're bidding with excitement. But the parent's going, I'm in my sadness. How? To understand why we turn against or turn away from bids, we have to see what emotions we're not willing to feel. What emotions we're not comfortable with. Because our ability to connect is limited by emotions we can't feel. Because when someone tries to bid through that emotion, we'll shut it down. So I started the message by saying, what emotions are we comfortable with feeling? Or sorry, why do we turn against bids? Why do we turn away from people we love? It's because we don't want to feel certain emotions. This is the part where you all think, or at least I'm thinking, why don't people bid with better emotions? If everyone just bid through excitement, happiness, maybe some anger, life would be easy. Now I'm guessing your list of emotions you prefer bid through are different than mine. But until we can realize what emotions we're not comfortable with, we will always mishandle those bids. Can you feel that? So here's what I want to do, if you're open to it. John Gottman has this incredible section where he basically teaches us what emotions we're not comfortable with. What emotions that when a bid comes through that emotion, we will turn against it or turn away from it. So here's what I want to do, if you're open to it. I want to go through a list of questions where you're going to do a self-analysis of what emotions you like and what emotions you don't like. Chances are, you probably don't know this because I didn't know this. It felt so natural to me. I was just living my life until I got a divorce because probably I was not connected to this. And I started to study this. So, if you're all open to it, we're going to go through a bunch of emotions. The ones that feel icky, those are the ones we want to focus on because those are the ones that are problematic. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. We're going to count our answers. If you agree with something, it's a positive one. If you feel neutral about something, it's a zero. If you feel negative about something, you disagree with the statement, it's a negative one. Now, some of us are not mathletes here, so let me give you a pro tip. Positive is finger up, negative is finger down. So if the first question I ask you, you say, I disagree, you count negative one. The second question I ask you is also negative, you go negative two. Now, if the next question I ask you, you're positive about, negative two subtract one is negative one. You guys are all like, oh, geez, we're back to grade six math. Right? Another positive, zero, and then we start counting one, two, three. I'll keep my fingers up. Feel free to keep your fingers up. I will not look. I will not memorize your answers. Maybe keep them underneath your... But what we want to do is we want to figure out what emotions we're not comfortable with. Okay, remember, agree, positive, disagree, negative, neutral, it's just a zero. Got it? My parents often showed me that they were proud of me. Let me read it once more. My parents often showed me that they were proud of me. When I was growing up, my family always attended the important events in which I participated. My parents helped me to feel proud of myself. My family taught me to believe in my talents. I learned from my past to feel good about what I've accomplished. Let me say that once more. I learned from my past to feel good about what I accomplished. I learned from my parents that mastery is all about believing in yourself. My family taught me that if I'm failing at something, it usually has very little to do with bad luck. Let me read that one again. My family taught me that if I'm failing at something, it usually has very little to do with bad luck. My past history makes it easy for me to feel proud of the achievements close to me. I easily express my pleasure in the achievement of others. Now, without me looking at your numbers, if you scored below a 2.5 on the positive side, chances are pride is one you struggle with. If someone bids to you by saying, check out what I did, that won't feel good to you. It's not because of anything you did wrong. It's a legacy of your history of growing up, your trauma, how your family dealt with things, coping strategies. There's a million reasons for this. We're not judging them. What we want to see is when someone bids through pride, I feel a little squeamish. And so instead of turning towards the bid, I'll turn away or against. Can you feel how this works? This, if you scored below 2.5, this is an emotional deficit for you. And we're going to come back at the end and talk about how you deal with that. Okay, next one, reset to zero. Got it? We're back to zero. I agree, positive. I disagree, negative. Feel free to count on your fingers. I will. When I was growing up, there was a lot of affection shown at home. Can I put two on one? Is that legal? I'll be legal. So that was a negative one for my family. My parents often showed me that they loved me. As a child, I felt really accepted by most of my peers. My family touched, hugged, and kissed one another a lot. I came from a very emotionally expressive family. Again, can I have a negative two, please? My parents often said, I love you to me when I was a child. Let me say that one again. My parents often said, I love you to me when I was a child. I feel comfortable expressing affection to those I care about. From their actions, I always knew I was important to my parents. As a child, my preferences and interests really mattered to my parents. My parents responded to my emotions when I was growing up. I felt comfortable receiving affection from those I care about. It's easy for me to say I love you when I feel it. If you scored below a 5, just as a note, I was a -6. If you scored below a 5, chances are love and affection, bids that come through those emotions, chances are you struggle with them. I know I do. It took me years to figure out how to hug somebody and when to hug somebody and who do you hug and how does this all work, because I didn't grow up with that. If you're below a 5, chances are that's difficult for you. You seeing how this works? I'm going to do 3 more quickly, okay? Reset to 0. Positive, I agree. Negative, I disagree. I was never afraid of my father's anger. I agree. It's easy for me to show my own anger to my parents. Oh, I like me some anger. I feel very comfortable when people are angry around me. I was taught as a child that anger is not the same at all as aggression. I was never afraid of my mother's anger. I can talk about my own anger with comfort. My family generally believed that anger was a constructive emotion. Oh, that's not. I never tried to avoid becoming angry. Most people can tell when I'm angry. I got another 2-1. I never keep my anger suppressed until I eventually blow up. I never feel that my anger is out of control. Ooh, actually, that's a lie. Let me take one away from that, because sometimes it gets a bit much. I've learned from my past that expressing anger is like throwing gasoline on an open flame. If you're below a 3, chances are anger's a hard one for you. Think about that. When the bid comes through anger, chances are you don't know what to do with it. It doesn't feel good. You want to make it stop. You want to turn it away. You want to shut it down. You roll your eyes. You humph. You say, calm down. But anger's not bad. But if we have an emotional deficit around anger, can you feel it? There's one on sadness here. That's the last one I'm going to do, just because I want you to see my number. Okay, remember, reset to 0. I agree is a positive 1. I disagree, -1. Got it? I keep my sadness to myself. Hells yes. My past experiences taught me that letting myself be sad is a waste of time. Hells yes. I'm rarely sad. My family taught me that feeling sadness was cowardly. That I would say no. I learned as a child that expressing sadness just brought everyone else down. I try to quickly get over being sad. I'm impatient with other people's sad moods. When as a child, my loneliness wasn't lonely noticed by my parents. No one can tell when I'm sad. I've learned through experience that there's very little point in talking to others when I'm downhearted. I hate being around sad people. That's a 9, by the way, for Vince. What was your number? Chances are, if you're above a 2, you struggle with sadness too. Now you understand why when my wife, and now ex-wife, bid through sadness, I'm a 9 against sadness. I armor myself against sadness. Can you see how your emotional deficits, can you see how my emotional deficits cause us to mishandle bids from people we love? That's why we're talking about this today. What are your emotional deficits? And who have you hurt because of those emotional deficits? What a perfect song for that moment, huh? Broken people, will we ever rise again? I love it. That was beautiful. Okay. This is where I really want to crack a joke because I'm feeling too much sadness and I don't like it. Okay, I'm going to give you guys the last 10 years of my life in 3 minutes. So we know that I started off by sucking at this. And when I say sucking, I mean like really sucking. And I paid for it. Divorce, lost friendships, lost connection, you name it. And I know, well, let's just say, maybe all of you guys are perfect at this and you're just like killing it with everybody and turning towards every bit, but chances are some of you, possibly in small moments, have a little Vince in you and you're duffing this. So I'm going to teach you guys how to turn towards bids in emotions that you don't like so that the people you love, the people you want to connect with, you can actually do it. So some of this is going to be really simple for you because you're good at this. For me, I had to learn this. First thing you got to learn to do, see the emotion accurately. I know it seems stupid, but you got to do it. And if there's an emotion, you know, if we did that list, if you were like me with sadness and you had like a, what was I at, like a 9 or something? I remember when I first started doing this kind of training, whenever I saw a sad face, I assumed that they were angry. They're like, what's the person feeling? Anger. Every time, it's anger. I thought my ex-wife was angry a lot. She actually struggled with depression. What do you think she was feeling? You got to be able to see this. If someone's ever said you're a cold fish, probably you don't see it. Someone ever said your face, your affect is flat, you don't have a lot of expressiveness in your face, chances are you're missing some of these emotions. Can you throw up the image for me, Kevin? Paul Ekman, the guy I studied with, says there's 7 universal emotions. So here's what I wanted to do. I'm going to point to them and I want you to call out what the person's feeling. This isn't the perfect, this is an actor, so it's not real examples, but they're pretty good. Let's stop at the start at the top left. What's she feeling on the top left? Nice. That's an easy one, right? Next one, going clockwise, top middle. Again, I would have said mad in the past because, of course, that's what mad people look like, right? Next one over. Contempt. Interesting, huh? Okay, the one that's kind of on its own right here. Nice. Okay, coming down to the bottom. Yeah, next one over. Sorry, what was that? Oh, disgusted. Someone's good. Well done. Last one. So, she's one of the things you look for surprises. You're looking for the eyebrows to come up and separate. She's surprised. How well, in moments of stress, in moments of you're in your own crap, you've had a busy day, whatever, how well are you reading those emotions? If you struggle, if you misread them, there's nothing wrong with you. You just never learned this. I'll put a link in the show notes to go to Paul Ekman's work. He basically will teach you to be able to see the emotions in people's faces. When I learned this, I spent the next 3 months going, "You're sad! You're totally sad!" Just as a side note, what you're not supposed to do to a sad person is point at them and yell. But I was so surprised. I was like, there is so much sadness in this world. I could not believe it. Next step. First, be able to see the emotion accurately. When your kid's angry, you don't see defiance. When your partner's sad, you don't feel angry or see anger. When they feel disgust, you don't think contempt, right? Misreading those things, massive issue. If you want to kind of figure out the A game, try and guess their emotion. Say, oh, that must be frustrating. If you got it wrong, they will tell you. I remember being in my counselor's office, and she says, do you ever cry? I said, yes, I do. She says, when? I said, I'm crying right now. She says, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I'm arguing with my counselor about whether or not I'm currently crying. Very quickly, it turned to anger on my part. But what I learned was I couldn't even express that feeling. I couldn't feel sad. So the first thing, you have to be able to see the emotion. Second, remember, we have to be able to resonate the emotion. Johnny's on top of a slide. Mom, Dad, check me out. Look at this. You have to respond with excitement or it won't work. Whoa, I can't believe you slid down the slide for the 100th time. You got to be able to feel the emotion. And this is where our emotional deficits take us out. Because the emotion you don't like, the one that you got really bad scores on, you won't want to feel. I was talking with someone just before this service. We're talking about someone bidding with sadness. He's like, well, I can't feel that. I'll never get out of that. If I get angry, I'll destroy something. If I get this, right? We don't want to feel it. But the only way to turn towards a bid is to resonate the emotion. You got to feel what they're feeling. Jesus, I'm sad to the point of death. What did he need his friends to do? Dude, I am so sorry. Now, chances are, if I would show you a new set of speakers that are on sale on the screen, you will not naturally feel excitement. Actually, let me just ask. Anyone feel excited about new speakers on sale? Hey, we're going to talk after. I'll buy you a beer. We'll talk speakers. Now, chances are your kid's sliding down for the 100th time. It's not exciting anymore. Chances are you'll watch the same Oprah show, and instead of feeling sad, you'll feel disgust or contempt or annoyance or anger or something other than sadness. So how do you resonate emotion in that moment? Here's how you do it. Again, at the beginning, you think of something that has the right emotion. Have you ever guys noticed whenever I tell a story about my mom, I get really sad and emotional? I'm a pretty cold fish most of the time. But man, I talk about my mom. Oh, I can even feel it right now. And I do this. I always step back with one foot. I can always tell. That was the first major loss I experienced after I started being able to feel sadness. And I hold on to that sadness so tight. Because when someone bids to me with sadness, I know my emotional reaction is to try and turn them away from it. Instead, what I do is I think for a second about my mom. And from that sadness, I say, I am so sorry. I resonate sadness with them. I can't hold it for very long. I can already feel, I don't want to feel it right now. I'm like, stop, stop. You find something that gets you to the right emotion and you feel it with them. I want to tell you, my wife is like the bloody rock star of this. So I bid with anger in the car all the time. I like to explain to drivers outside of me what they should and shouldn't be doing while they're driving in a very loud voice. If you turn against that bid, I will take that anger and suppress it, and it's going to come out really badly. Really badly. So here's me. Ah, screw you. And there's my wife, hair done to the nines, looking like a million bucks, like 6-inch heels. She's screaming out the window at them with me. I love this woman. I am just like, in a millisecond, I am howling. Why? She reads the emotion that she doesn't like. When she took this, anger in her was like, ay, ay, ay. But she knows. And she finds anger inside of herself and resonates it with me. And I'm telling you, folks, it is the most beautiful thing in the history of the world. If you have someone in your life with road rage and you're driving with them, it's a bid. Get angry with them. Yell and scream at the person. You'll connect. It's turning towards. It's resonating the emotion. Third step, if you want to be ninja level at this, learn to hold the emotion longer or deeper. You saw with me with sadness, I right away want to pull out of it, right? I don't like sadness. I can hold it for like a couple minutes and then I'm out. Go deeper, longer. This is how we create that connection. This is how we turn towards bids that come in emotions that we don't like, that are where our emotional deficits are. We learn to see the emotion and we learn to feel it. There's nothing wrong with how people bid to us. It's our emotional deficits that cause the problem. And if you're willing to do this work, you will build connection with people you love. And isn't that what we're about?
Hey, good morning. My name is Kelty, and this is a part of our service that we do called charitable giving. Before the service, I was chatting with Vince. I said, okay, we're doing this a little differently today. Music, message. How do you want me to hit charitable giving? Because it's going to be kind of like a big, like, left turn. So I was sitting back there listening to Vince talk, and I was thinking, okay, well, maybe I can go and say, well, now that you've got all these emotions, you're kind of working through them, I'm going to give you a little break, and we're going to talk about something that's got no emotion attached to it, which is money. Right. As if. Money, politics, the one that carries all the gamut, all those seven emotions that you saw on the screen, I'm sure carries with it there. So instead, I'll turn it to generosity, and thank you for your generosity. It is through your generosity that Friends Church is able to bring you these kinds of messages, this kind of music, these kinds of Sundays, and all the days when you leave here and take these messages home with you so that you can build a better world for you and the people around you. And it is really only through your generosity that we are able to do that. There's a few ways that you can give to Friends Church. One is through PAG, which is pre-authorized giving. So monthly, you'll just set an amount and we'll just sneak into your bank account and take that amount every month. Also, if you want to give a one-time gift, that is great too. You can do that through the app, or you can do that through, there's some envelopes at the back. If you're old school and still carry checks or have a credit card, you can give it to us that way too. We will take your generosity no matter how you want to give it. I will now let Vince take you back on the road and finish this message out, but thank you very much for your time this morning.
That was actually pretty good, you know? It's not a bad segue. Thanks, Kelty. You know, what she said was true. Friends Church exists to inspire you and inspire me to live a better life, to inspire the world around me we inspire all of us to live better and make the world around us better. That's what we're here for. I love that the last song that they did. I believe in something. I believe in us. I believe in our ability to feel the emotions that we've never wanted to feel because of trauma or past, whatever, I don't care. To be able to turn towards the people that we love, that we care about, that we want to connect with. See their emotion. Feel it with them. And if we want to go ninja level, hold it longer and deeper. That's how we turn towards the people we love. That's how we make them feel the joy that that second song talked about. Where sons and daughters feel their worth. And tremendous joy is through the streets. That's the influence I want all of us to be today. Probably more than you, I want it to be that. Let's go out and turn towards the bids of the people we love. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.